Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the kind of party, baby. Touchdown! Touchdown! Donald Jones! A strike! An absolute fastball thrown by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
And now I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. We've got you covered when it comes to the new head coach, featuring a sit-down with the man himself, Doug Marrone, one of the guys that made it happen, Doug Whaley, and a couple of guys that have previous relationships with Coach Marrone, Dick McPherson from Syracuse and Herm Edwards from ESPN. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Guns it down the middle. It is intercepted. It is Gettysburg. The ball hawk does it again.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
What a day, what a weekend, what a couple of weeks it's been for the Buffalo Bills. Really, if you think about it, the day today, the introduction of the new head coach, Doug Marrone. We were there at the news conference today. We sat down with the head coach. You'll hear that interview in just about a minute here. Just an amazing weekend, though, when you think about where we were last Friday when we're talking about Chip Kelly and the Bills. When we left the air Friday at 9 o'clock, it was not yet known if, indeed, the Bills had talked with Chip Kelly. Now Chip Kelly's going back to Oregon, doesn't wind up in the NFL. What a week it's been. A week ago today, Chan Gailey let go. 6 days ago, Russ Brandon named president of the team. I mean, go back a couple weeks, 2.5 weeks since the lease announcement was made. It's been an amazing 2.5 weeks, really historic 2.5 weeks. For the Buffalo Bills franchise. And we're happy to have you with us in our audience tonight to talk about it. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're here until the BCS Championship game, Notre Dame and Alabama, coming up tonight on WGR Radio, just about 8:20, 8:30 or so. We'll take you up to that, and we'll talk a lot about the new head coach and your thoughts on the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. Did he come out of the blue? No. Was it a surprise? Yes, especially after so much attention and time was focused last week on the initial interviews that we knew about. Ken Whisenhunt, of course, Ray Horton, and then on Friday, the trio of interviews the Buffalo Bills did, Chip Kelly being most notable in that group of three they did. Doug Marrone was in that group of three. Lovie Smith also interviewed. And I would say that if you polled Bills fans Saturday afternoon, who would be their choice with Chip Kelly, kind of slipping away? We didn't know he was slipping back to Oregon. They probably, in a poll, probably would have been pretty evenly split, but they probably would have said Lovie Smith. And here comes Doug Whaley. We all wake up to Doug Marrone, rather. We all wake up to the news that Doug Marrone is the head coach on Sunday morning. Yeah, a surprise. Not a shock. Didn't come out of the blue. But he does, as I said to Shopin the Bulldog a moment ago, fit all the little check marks the Bills enunciated when they talked about what they were looking for in their next head coach. We want to hear from you tonight. We're going to break in or build in time for your thoughts on the hiring of Doug Marrone as the Bills head coach. And the phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We do want to start with the news of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown, brought to you by Kumho Tires. Get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap when you buy 4 Kumho brand tires, the official tire of the Buffalo Bills. You can get them at Dunn Tire, service you deserve, professionals you trust. The announcement came at noon today, the Bills announcing the hiring of Doug Marrone as the 16th man to be named head coach in franchise history. Bills president and CEO Russ Brandon says Doug Marrone just fit the bill.
When we looked at the criteria for what we were looking for in our next head coach, we wanted toughness, we wanted intellect, we wanted a culture change, a guy that will bring leadership, competitive leadership. We wanted to hopefully have someone with an NFL pedigree and head coaching experience. Doug was a perfect candidate.
Perfect of the five candidates they interviewed, for sure. And the Bills give him marks, high marks, for going out there and getting it, being aggressive, getting it done quickly. Russ Brandon leading a 4-man team out to Phoenix, Arizona 6 days ago. Russ, along with Doug Whaley, the team's assistant general manager, Jim Overdorf, senior vice president, football administration, and the general manager, Buddy Nix. Buddy Nix, as you'll hear later on from Doug Whaley, Buddy Nix was the lead interviewer when these interviews were conducted. And Buddy Nix did, had some thoughts today at the news conference on the man they eventually hired, Doug Marrone.
This guy's, you know, he's highly intelligent and knows about all the, keeps up with all the new trends. And he gets enough coaching at home. He knows about the old school stuff, too. So we're got the best of both worlds.
There you go. We're going to hear from Doug Marrone in a moment. Now, his first order of business, obviously, is to fill out his coaching staff. And although he was not talking a lot about names, names have leaked out. Reportedly now, and this is under the reportedly category, the Bills have requested and been granted permission from the Jets to interview defense coordinator Mike Pettine for their defensive coordinator vacancy. Mike Pettine, who's been with the Jets for the last several years, turned down a contract extension offer from the Jets in December, and he is now in the final weeks of his contract there. He'll be a free agent. So Mike Pettine on the Bills' short list of interviews for a defensive coordinator. The Bills reportedly have also been granted permission to speak with Jacksonville Jaguars defensive coordinator Mel Tucker about the defensive coordinator job here. 41 years old, he's been the defensive coordinator in Jacksonville since 2009. He was their interim head coach when Jack Del Rio was fired a year ago. So that's the rundown of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown, brought to you by Kumho Tires. Get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap when you buy four Kumho brand tires, the official tire of the Buffalo Bills. You can get them at Dunn Tire. Service you deserve, professionals you trust. Doug Marrone, the 16th man to be named head coach of the Buffalo Bills. We had a chance this afternoon to sit down and talk with the new head coach. With us now, the brand new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, the 16th head coach in Buffalo Bills history, Doug Marrone. Coach, thank you very much for coming over here 4 years with the Syracuse Orange. As a Syracuse alumnus, I'm very happy to welcome you here to Western New York.
Well, Murph, thank you, and I'm excited to be here.
Tell me about this process. Let's start with that and when it began for you. December 29th, you're playing in the Yankee Stadium in the Pinstripe Bowl, and take us through the last 8 days or so. What happened since then?
Well, it was an unbelievable process. I mean, it was thorough. I don't know if people can really realize what you go through. You know, for me, obviously, my energy was into beating West Virginia.
Right.
That was the only thought, you know, on my mind and getting the team ready. When the game was over, I wound up going home, taking my stuff from the bowl and everything like that. My wife and kids, you know, flew to see her parents. After that, I went to Coach Boeheim's house for New Year's Eve. Dr. Gross was there. We were watching the college football game. And with about, you know, 52 seconds left, by 10:30, you know, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired. So I wound up going home. I throw my phone on the bed. I go and take a shower, come back in, and all of a sudden my phone is blown up. And I don't know that many people.
So especially
all of a sudden they said,
there's
a report. And then I, you know, then obviously then the process really started to go from there. But I give Buddy and Russ, you know, I knew them. And when I say I know them or knew them, I knew them just as much as I knew everyone else around this league. It's a very small league. It's a very small fraternity. And then I know them a whole lot more now going through that process than you can ever dream. And I think that was the main thing. You know, there were some opportunities out there for me, but at the end of the day, this is where I wanted to be, and I think that's important.
How important was it for you to make this jump now, to get to the NFL now? Did you have this timetable in mind?
I don't know if you ever think that. Like I said before when we talked about it, you know, I'm always a big believer in, you know, not ever, you know, looking ahead career-wise. I've seen that, and I've seen people make that mistake so many times. They're always looking for the next job. They're always looking, you know, my situation has always been, you know, what are my responsibilities? What are the expectations out of me? And just go to work. And then through that, opportunities can open up. So I really don't put a lot of thought process of saying, oh, for years and years, this is what I was thinking. I go back to my first job in the NFL. You know, I was sitting there and, you know, I just wanted to do the best job that I could do where I was at. And then all of a sudden a team calls. And at that time they had told me, they said, you know, we already have the guy that we're going to hire, but your name comes up. Could you come up here and
this
interview?
This is the Jets job? Or the Saints job?
This is the Jets job, my first job.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, fine, I'll make you a deal. I'll come up there and interview if you put me up for 2 days so I can see my parents. So you know, if I'm not going to get the job and you already have someone in mind, you know, who are you going to hire? And I was about eighth on that list, if I remember correctly at the time. And then I went in there and we interviewed that day for, you know, probably about 8 hours. And all of a sudden, you know, I go back and I'm driving around and recruiting. Next thing I know, the phone rings and says, let's go. Yeah. So I just do the best job I can, you know, where I am.
Tell me about your roots in the Bronx, growing up in the Bronx. What kind of kid were you? What kind of student were you? What kind of athlete
were you? I was the greatest kid, smartest kid, best athlete.
We all were. Yeah.
No, both my parents worked. My grandmother pretty much raised me. I always used to say a lot, you know, even with the players, a lot of grandma's rules. In other words, you know, when I came home, I couldn't run out and play with my friends until my homework was done. I think I was raised a lot like the people in New York, you know, here in Western New York, or whether it be Central New York or downstate, to a point where, you know, I had chores growing up, things I had to do. I'd go outside and rake the leaves like we all have to do,
yeah.
You know, at a certain point. And I'd say, hey, I'm done with my chore now. I'm going to go out and play with my friends. Hey, if I go out there and I look in that yard, is that job that you just done, is that something you're proud of? And that maybe it's my background, you know, I'm Italian and Irish, maybe, you know, I'm Catholic. It's that guilt factor. And you're like, oh, I got to go make sure, you know, all those leaves are gone. So, I think it's important. I think it helped me, you know, through that type of discipline and pride in what I've done. And I had a great work ethic. And I think that the one thing that I've learned being around from downstate, Central New York, or Western New York, you know, the people here have an unbelievable work ethic and an unbelievable drive. And that's and I'm one of them.
It sounds like from what you describe in your background, it sounds like you must have been a perfect fit for Syracuse coach Dick McPherson.
Well, a lot of those skills, you know, I wasn't the most developed individual when I went to college. And I give a lot of credit to Coach Mack. And Coach Mack was an NFL coach prior to, I don't know if it was just prior to coming to Syracuse, but he had been in the NFL. And he was, actually. I think he was with Cleveland at the time. So, you know, when he came back in, you know, I credit him. Here's how it was. Okay, I would say, why is he doing this? And I was one of those guys that, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. You know, and he just keep pushing. And then all of a sudden, after I had graduated, after I had left, it hit me, now I get it. Now I know why he did what he did. And I'll never forget, the phone call came, you know, later on after I had left. I said, Coach, I know I might not have been the ideal type of player, and things like that. I know at times I may have been difficult, but you know what? I get it now. And Mac said, who the heck is this? And I think that happens a lot in life. I think you go back and, you know, I'm thankful for the coaches, my high school coaches. I'm thankful, obviously, to my parents. My grandmother's not with us anymore. I'm thankful for the people that have touched me, because at the end of the day, people always say, well, who are you most like? Who has been the biggest influence? Who has been this or that? But everyone around, you know, has touched my life, and I understand. And for me, I have a great sense of responsibility to make them proud as I go forward.
We're talking about influences, and you worked with Sean Payton, you worked with Herm Edwards. Was there anybody else, or even those two, who you consider your greatest coaching influences?
You know, everyone wants to ask that question. You know, you're influenced by everyone that you're around.
Yeah.
And influence is something that you can control as an individual. So I can control, Murph, how you're influencing me now, you know, or anyone else that's around me all the time. So, you know, for me, you look at that and you take those great qualities and you think about it, and how does it fit you? You know, to copy somebody else or to do something that someone else is doing, if that's not in your personality, if that's not in your heart, that's very difficult to do. So, you know, I've been influenced by a lot of people. Where I feel I've been fortunate is I've always had great people around me. If I didn't have the teachers in my high school, forget about the coaches. If I didn't have the teachers that were around me, I wouldn't be where I am today. You know, so their influence on me was outstanding.
It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're sitting down talking with the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. Coach, how did you turn around Syracuse? Really a remarkable turnaround in the 4 years you were there.
Well, I think, you know, we had a process. We had some good coaches. We had some players that bought into what we were doing. We had a difficult time recreating a foundation of recruiting that we had to get done. And really, if someone said to me, what was the one thing? It's communication. We had great communication from myself to the assistant coaches to the players. And I think that's what's important, you know, creating that trust. You know, and people use buzzwords, Murph, like, you know, we're going to change the culture. We're going to do – well, you know, if you look at what changing the culture is, the first thing you need to change the culture is language. And you have to just get everyone on the same page. And it's not as difficult as maybe some people would lead on. And it may be if they don't know what they're doing.
Let's talk about the job ahead. And it begins, I would think, with assembling your coaching staff here. Do you start with the coordinators? And do you have coordinators in mind for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, I think that there'll be some balance right now, you know, to schooling myself and going out and getting the best coaches that fit our organization, no different than what Buddy and Russ has done. And then making sure I'm watching tape, evaluating, getting to know these players and being available for these players, you know, if they're in town. So I think that's where I am right now. You know, you have me tied up here now,
yes,
and I really should be at work. So hopefully we'll be able to wrap this thing up. But, you know, I appreciate this time, and hopefully I'm answering these questions. Hopefully there are not too many more.
Oh, there's a couple more. Just a couple more, Coach. When you look for coordinators, you mentioned earlier today, you're looking for guys with NFL experience, especially, I think you said, on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, it's a difficult league. And when I say NFL experience, you know, I'm talking about being in this league. I think this is, you know, it's special. I have a great appreciation for it. So, you know, is it, whether it be experience in play calling or experience in being in this league, you know, I'm not going to put those type of parameters on those positions. So, again, I'm going to go and reiterate, I'm going to get the best, you know, the best coaches that fit us, that want to be here, that aren't worried about, you know, taking all the credit, that have no egos, and that at the end of the day are working hard and being innovative and keep pushing and trying to stay one step ahead of the rest of the league.
You were pretty adamant earlier today about not calling plays, even though you've done that, and that is maybe a strength of yours.
Well, it's more managing. You know, you have to remember, you know, when you call plays now, it gets, you know, unless you've done it before, I mean, it gets crazy. You know, you want to fight, attack, and you really don't know how the other side's playing or how your special teams are playing. So, you know, I'm a big believer, you know, I'm there to manage this game. I'm managing the three phases of what we're doing. And I have the best feel for how everything's going on. And I don't mean that in an egotistical way. You know, I've been around Coach Shula, you know, and watched how he managed games. You know, when you look at those coaches, they manage the games, they manage the staff, they manage the calls, you know, and that's what our job is. Now, some people choose to go the other way. I'm not saying that's the wrong way. That may be the best way for them, but this is what's best for me.
Coach, tell me about your family. Who's coming to live with you here in Buffalo?
Well,
kids?
When people, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when people say, you know, when they talk about, you know, hey, you know, you got to go out and face the media. You got to go out and face whatever it may be. I got to go home and face my wife. I mean, there's no tougher critic, you know. And the reason why is, you know, my wife's dad is a legendary coach, was a head coach for over 20 years, wasn't an assistant that long. So, you know, I have a lot to answer to. And what it does, or what she has done for me, is she has given me a great insight and understanding of what goes on, you know, not only to coaches-wise, but people that work within the organization and our fans. A great story is we were playing Washington, and we had a good football team, and, you know, obviously we came up short. So, you know, I was one of the last out of the locker room, which I normally, you know, I was one of the last guys out. And I'm rehashing the game and going through my mind. And I walk out there and my wife says to me, you know, what happened? Why did so-and-so not play well? What happened here? What happened there? And I said, you know, I just went through that. I'm going to have to go through it tomorrow with the staff. I'm going to have to go through it again when I talk to Sean. I'm going to have to go through this. I really don't want to talk about that right now. She goes, well, no, you are going to talk about that now, because tomorrow I have to be on the carpool line. I'm going to be shopping. And you know what? People are going to look for me for answers. So you better answer what's going on. So I understand. But I think that's given me great insight to what the people feel.
Sure. And your kids, coaches, ages?
My oldest daughter, Madeline, is 11. Mac is 9.
Okay.
And my youngest is Annie, that's 7. So, you know, again, they're excited.
you're going to be one of those rare people who come to Buffalo and may actually trade up when it comes to getting better weather.
Come on. I've lived in Syracuse. There you go.
I've lived in Syracuse. The weather's a little bit better here than Syracuse.
Listen. I love New York. How about that, right? We should just get, you know, and Murph, I'm not getting you to say, I'm not saying anything negative.
I'll say
you
it.
Know,
the weather in Syracuse is worse than here.
I like the cold weather.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, obviously, you know, with the amount of snow that we get, we have a lot of fresh water.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Having lived in the South and with, you know, where things live all year round, I mean, and I've gotten mosquito bites now that it's unbelievable, you know, and then, you know, living in places, it's, you know, hey, watch out. They got, you know, snakes and this. And I mean, you know, you're nervous for your kids and things.
Sure.
I love winter. You know, winter goes ahead and it neutralizes all of that. And I can't think of a great area to live.
Here comes the last question.
Thank you.
In the press conference today, you said, I feel this town. What did you mean?
I'm from here. I mean, I'm not literally from Western New York, but there's a relationship, you know. Again, if you think about it, how many people have done what I'm doing? In other words, I was born and raised in this state, okay? All right? And I'll go through a chronology. Born and raised in the state. Played high school football in the state. Okay. Went to college in the state. All right. After that, my first coaching job was in the state. My first NFL coaching job at that time, because no one moved, was literally in the state. We didn't play in the state,
right,
but we were here in the state. And now my first head coaching job ever was in the state in college. And now my first, I mean, it's great, but it's part of a journey, but it's not completed yet. So I'm looking forward to getting to work and getting things done.
Coach, thank you. Good luck to you.
Murph, thank you.
Coach Doug Marone, the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome back. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive, where it was a big day today. The hiring of the new head coach, Doug Marone, named the 16th head coach in Buffalo Bills history. On the line with us now from his home in Florida, the gentleman who recruited Doug Marone to Syracuse University to play on the offensive line there. He was an All-East offensive lineman at SU. He spent 10 years as head coach at SU, a couple of years as head coach of the NFL's New England Patriots. He is a College Football Hall of Famer. Coach Mac, Coach Dick McPherson on the line with us. Coach, good to be talking with you. How are you tonight?
Oh, I tell you right now, it's been a long way, and you've been delivering the Buffalo Bills, even the Lucy Bend area. You're changing diapers, you're doing a good job with it.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, I appreciate that. Coach, tell us what you remember of Doug Marone coming out of the Bronx, New York, to come up to SU to play college football 25, 30 years ago. What do you recall about them?
The funniest thing that I recall about Doug Marone, you know, he was a very big high school player for that day and age, you know. He was a big, and plus he played basketball, and we're at his home in the Bronx somewhere and trying to get back on the expressway. So he said, Coach, I'll run. That was George Lewis' idea. You run us, run down. It's only about a quarter of a mile, and then we can get on from there. And so I got a good picture of Doug jogging down there and getting us on the expressway. And plus, he's a big man, but one of those fine athletes for big men.
Mm-hmm.
And then to put him in at the offensive tackle, the thing that those great athletes with that size, just immovable. I mean, he just did a great job in pass protection. And he started as a sophomore, so he had a real good career here.
He talked today at the news conference, Coach, about how he considers himself still an offensive lineman. He has sort of an offensive lineman mentality. Do you see that in him?
Well, you know, his brain is all cluttered with offensive linemen. What you have to remember is that he spent 3 years coaching the offensive line in the pros and 3 years offensive coordinator at the Saints. So he's been with the – he was an offensive lineman, and his coaching was offensive line his whole life.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you had to recruit him a second time, kind of, when you and others had to convince him to come back to SU just 4 years ago to be the head coach of the Orange. Talk about that time and what you why you thought he'd be a good fit for Syracuse 4 years ago.
Well, for one thing, he was well-known and well-liked by the football players that played with him, and that we had a good run when he was there, and so there's all good, happy memories, and And he really wanted to come back here as the head football coach. And so it was very easy because he had all the credentials that would lead him to be a good one, and we needed one at the bad at the time.
Yeah.
So, and he was hired by Darryl Gross and the chancellor, and he did a hell of a job, and we're very sad that he's leaving.
Coach, you almost have a similar resume. I mean, you had NFL coaching experience as an assistant with the Browns and the Broncos and then went to SU and then went back to the NFL. Doug Marone's kind of doing the same path, you know, NFL assistant coaching experience, head coach at Syracuse and now to the NFL. Talk about that transition he'll have to go through here.
I think before we go into that, I think the greatest joy that my wife and I had was Lou Saban.
Mm-hmm.
When we tied up with Lou Saban, and Buffalo, I'm sure, holds him dear for what he was and what he is and what he was after his football days, and God love him. But I think that from that standpoint, nobody can emulate him, but by the same token, he made the great fix. So coming to coach college football and coming to Syracuse, in my opinion, was the epitome of Eastern football. The ones that when you talked about Eastern football in our day, when I became the head coach, it was Penn State and Syracuse, West Virginia and Pitt, and then Boston College. Those were the five teams in the East that could play anybody and beat anybody in the East other than themselves. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time that I had here. And to be honest with you, why I went with the Patriots, I started with them at UMass with Lou Saban, in 1960 when the AFL started. But by the same token, when we get with all of these people, it was just a very, very happy time. And I think, you know, you've got to see, John, that this is a great marriage between Doug Logan and Buffalo, because I think that you're going to enjoy each other. And when you talk about looking at the guy's credentials, don't you think that it's almost designed for him to be a real good head football coach now in pro football, because he did it in a college situation, had to revive them, and the broad experience he's had both in college and in pros. He's got great credentials, I think, don't you?
I do, Coach. I do, just as you did. Coach, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. It's always a pleasure to get you on the air. It takes me back to my old days in radio when we talk on Thursday nights during the college football season. I enjoyed that a lot.
Right. The only thing I want you to know, John, is that one of these days you're going to have to buy me a beer. It's been over 20, 30 years now.
I will. So I definitely will.
Check with Brian, see if you can possibly afford that.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. Loved it.
Joining us now, Bills Assistant General Manager Doug Whaley, just back from Arizona after six intensive whirlwind days. That'd be quite an event out there for you guys, your team of four Bills decision makers, doing all those coaches' interviews, Doug.
It was. It was an exhaustive process, a fun process, but a process that I think we came out with the best man for the Buffalo Bills.
Last time we talked to you was last Tuesday, New Year's Day, mm-hmm. about mid-afternoon. You guys were on your way out that day. You flew out that day to Phoenix, right?
Absolutely. Wheels were up at 2:15.
And
so
what went on? I mean, did you hit the ground running as far as interviews as soon as you got there?
Absolutely. As soon as we touched down, we had an interview scheduled for that night. And from that night all the way until we left, we had interviews. And sometimes one day we actually had three. We had a breakfast, then an interview, and then an interview late at night. So that night was very exhaustive. It was probably ended around 12:30.
Doug, I would think you have to be prepared to do these interviews in terms of what each of your roles would be, you and Buddy Nix and Russ Brandon and Jim Overdorf. Did you kind of divide the duties that way a little bit?
No, Buddy headed the whole thing. What he leaned on us for were expertise of picking up different things that came from that interview that maybe he was concentrating on the next question, or just different nuances that on my expertise in personnel, maybe I interjected on that. J.O. interjected on if the coach had any questions on the cap or contract negotiations. And Russ was always there to handle the stadium lease and the ownership situation. And so we all had our areas of expertise, but Buddy was the main focal point of the interview.
How long was each interview typically? And you did, I believe, five total, right? How long did each interview go?
I tell you this much, I didn't time it.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things that there was no set time, let me put it this way. We felt that as long as it was going and we start getting more information, and we had a banter back and forth. We didn't put a time limit on it. We just wanted to make sure we felt comfortable with the information we got from the candidate, and also the candidate felt comfortable with every question that he had for us.
And when you get to this interview stage, you know a little bit about each of these coaches already. Obviously, they all have resumes and backgrounds. So does the interview center on them or on their football philosophy, their football strategy? How does it typically go?
They do their due diligence on us, and right. We do our due diligence on them. So, again, like you said, there is a basic background and knowledge of each candidate. But what we get into are the philosophies of what they are looking to instill in their team and how they're going to implement that philosophy once they get to the Buffalo Bills.
Were you looking for coaches who had some familiarity with your personnel and with the Buffalo Bills?
Well, with the background and the due diligence, not all the candidates did. They did have an extensive knowledge of our personnel, just like we'd expect them to.
And how much of it was coaches asking you and your four-man crew questions? I mean, some of these coaches, I think, would have questions about what do you want, what are you looking for, where are we going?
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that we actually thought was a bonus. When you had a guy that came in and asked us questions about anything, if they had questions. If they didn't have any questions, which all of them did, it would be a little concerning. But with they showed, we got to look. Well, we looked at it this way: it's a mutual relationship, and I'm sure they're going to want to know just as much about us as we wanted to know about them.
So, Doug, you're in this process, and you get to Coach Doug Marrone. Mm-hmm. And Buddy said earlier today that once you got to that interview, it became pretty clear that he was the guy. What was it about that interview?
I'd have to say it was just what we were looking for and the criteria that Russ laid out when we had that news conference and before we went to Arizona. It was check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark on all of those aspects.
And because of his background, his experience, or because of his demeanor even in the interview?
I think his total package.
Yeah.
Just his background, his demeanor, his resume, and what he wants to accomplish and how he wants to accomplish it.
It's a wild week, and it still goes on around the rest of the teams that do not have head coaches now, but there's all sorts of media reports swirling around. Are you insulated from that when you're in that process?
No, we're not. We're very aware of it, and it's actually pretty funny that sometimes we're reading rumors about people that we're talking to, and we're just laughing. And it's part of the business these days. It's unfortunate, and it's hard to really put stock in anything you read. You kind of take it with a grain of salt, but it is what it is, as they say.
And, Doug, you know, Coach Marrone, obviously with his background, you've probably scouted Syracuse and their players over the years. Tell me your impressions of him and his program over the last 4 years right down the road in Syracuse.
I think when you look at a Syracuse program, one, it's obvious he's turned it around. Two, though, I think one of the big things, just talking to other schools that go and play, because I'm a Pitt grad and watching them play Pitt, that those guys know when you go in to play Syracuse, you're going to be in for a fight. And I think that's going to translate well to our personnel and our type of personality we want for a team.
In your role as assistant general manager, Doug, what did you get out of this process, this six-day process of picking the next head coach? Personally, professionally, what did you get out of it?
Professionally, I think I got how exhausting of a process it is, but it's a thorough process, and you have to be thorough because it's a big decision for everyone involved. Personally, it was great to reconnect with some people. It was great to get to know some people, and it was just an interesting process to be in it from the start to finish. And I tell you this much, we think we got the best man for the Buffalo Bills, but every candidate we talked to was the deserving candidate, and I think all of them will be successful in this league as head coaches.
Now, what's next for you and the personnel department? What do you do from here?
We're starting right off the bat. Pro-wise, we got to get ready for unrestricted free agency, so we're going to start with Tommy Givens and meeting with them and starting to rank the free agents in certain specific positions that we'll have an interest in. I leave Sunday to start with the college side going to All-Star Games, the East-West, the Senior, and Texas First Nation. So we'll start narrowing our focus on college guys and getting ready for the combine and the draft.
Coach Marrone has to hire a staff eventually. Would you like to include his coaching assistants into the personnel side of it as you move along?
I think so, and that was one of the imperative things that not only Coach Marone wants, but we want. We want a cohesive unit between coaches and personnel because, as Coach Marone says, we're all in this together, so we got to work together, and I think that's how you get a successful organization.
Doug, thanks very much.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Doug Whaley, the Bills assistant general manager, a sit-down interview we did with him earlier today. We've got a lot more to come, including your phone calls when we return. What do you think about the hire? Your thoughts on Doug Marone? We'll get to the calls in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live in One Bills Drive. If you need more info, and I'm sure you do, about today's move, the hiring of Doug Marone as the next head coach of the Buffalo Bills, you can check it out at buffalobills.com. Chris Brown's got a one-on-one sit-down interview with the coach. It is up and posted. We'll hear from Doug Whaley a little bit later on as well, and all the news, the comments from around the NFL world on the Bills move. It's all at buffalobills.com. If you miss portions of our show, you can download the mobile Bills app from buffalobills.com, and as always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Big day for the Bills with the hiring of Doug Marone. Speaking of coaching news, came across this tonight. The son of former Bills GM Bill Polian is the new head football coach at Nevada Reno, University of Nevada Reno. Brian Polian, who's been an assistant coach in college football for the last several years, most recently at coming over from, TCU? No, Texas A&M last year. Stanford for a couple of years, Notre Dame for 4 or 5 years before that. Brian Polian, St. Francis High School graduate and a graduate of John Carroll University, is now the new head coach at Nevada Reno. Good for him. Congratulations to him. A couple of minutes for phone calls here before we get to the top of the hour. Mike in Connecticut, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very happy with the move with Coach Marone. And just two quick questions. One is, has anyone addressed Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is he going to be gone, or we don't know yet?
We don't know yet. Coach Marone was asked about that today, and he did not have an answer for that. You know, I don't know. I've been told that Fitzpatrick met face-to-face with Coach Marone today, private meeting. What went on there, who knows? But as far as Fitzpatrick's future here, nobody knows. It has not been said yet. Thanks very much for your call, Mike.
Quick question. Yep. I'm not really familiar with Coach Marone, but I know a lot of people spoke highly of him from what I read online. Is he one of these coaches that will, you know, yell at the referee from the sideline and get the team pumped up, or is he kind of one of these deer-in-the-headlight coaches like Dick Duron, Mike Malarkey, and Shane Daly were?
Yeah, I don't know if he's deer-in-the-headlight, as you said. We're going to ask that question of our next guest next hour, Herm Edwards, who actually brought Doug Marone into the NFL with the New York Jets back in 2002. We'll ask him that question. What can we expect from the sideline demeanor of Coach Marone? Here's Sean in Buffalo. Sean, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Murph?
Great.
Good, good. Listen, I was just listening to an earlier segment, and it was talking about Mario. And, you know, it's just sickening to hear him continue to talk about him. He just got here. And Levy and Polian, when they had Bruce, they put players around Bruce. They put good players around Jim Kelly. You know, and granted, Fitzpatrick could never be Jim Kelly. And they should go ahead and you know, I'm jumping a little bit. They should go ahead and cut their ties, save some money, and go and do what they have to do. But as far as that defense is concerned, they need to put more players out there. Our linebacker core is – we need more linebackers.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, Sean, especially at the linebacker spot. That'll make everybody better. But I do think the Bills are looking for more from Mario Williams, more for their money, and just more consistent effort from Mario Williams game in and game out. All right, we'll talk more about the hiring of Doug Marone. We're going to be talking with Herm Edwards from ESPN, the former head coach of the Chiefs and the Jets. When we return, we'll have time for phone calls as well as we take you up to the BCS championship game, Notre Dame and Alabama. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house. He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Man, you should hang out. You should go fishing again.
Half-
halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Loud noises!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Send him to Hawaii. Put him in the Pro Bowl. He is a playmaker.
This gentleman is the Buffalo Bills' finest hour.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive, and joining us on the line, a longtime head coach in the National Football League with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets. He's the man who brought Doug Marrone into coaching in the NFL. The Bills' new head coach started in 2002 as the offensive line coach for the Jets, and the head coach of the Jets at that time is on the line with us now. Coach Herm Edwards, now an analyst with ESPN. Coach Edwards, thank you very much for being on the air with us.
My pleasure.
What did you see way back then, 11 years ago, from Doug Marrone when he was at University of Tennessee that led you to hire him with the Jets?
Well, obviously, when you're a head coach, the thing you realize is that during your tenure, you're going to lose coaches. Some go on to be coordinators, and then some just guys that, you know, they don't fit your system, and you want to change. So when scouts go out to universities, and obviously scouting players, I always tell them, make sure you're looking at their coaches, you know, who you think would be a candidate maybe to come into the league and be a position coach for me. And Doug Marrone, we had lost our offensive line coach, and Doug Marrone was a guy at Tennessee. Heard a lot about him. The thing about what I liked about him, he was a good teacher, very good communicator, and he was a developer of players. The story I always tell about Doug Marrone, we had a kid by the name of Brandon Moore. He still is with the Jets. He was actually a defensive tackle, and we got him in. And about the second week of practice, I said, you know what, we're going to change this guy's position. And I said, we're going to make him a guard. So I told Doug, I said, this is your project for the next year, and we sent him to the World League. And Doug had been over in the World League, over in Europe, and he convinced the guy to go over there, and the guy went over there and played guard. He came back that next summer, and he ended up being the starting guard. And obviously, he's made a couple Pro Bowls. He's still playing, actually, for the Jets.
Did it matter, Coach Edwards, back then that Doug Marrone had played a little bit in the NFL?
It helped. But really, you know, what he had done, I think, with his offensive lines, and you saw that they were very – you know, they're a very disciplined group, played with good technique, and I was a big believer of technique and fundamentals. And Doug is built that way, too. I mean, you know, in this league, you have to develop your players. And sometimes when you get them, they're not ready to play, but you got to find a way to get them ready to play. And Doug was always big on that. He always worked extra time with the young guys. You know, practice would be over. He'd take about three of those young offensive linemen that were on a practice squad. He'd continue to work with them, drill them, get them ready not only in the classroom, but on the field to play. So, He devoted his time to those guys, and a lot of those guys ended up playing in the National Football League.
Coach, I always think back at what Marv Levy used to talk about, how he wanted a coaching staff full of teachers. It sounds like you're describing a pretty good teacher when you talk about Doug Marrone.
Yeah, very good teacher. And obviously he left us, and then from there he went on to New Orleans. And I know Sean Payton has nice things to say about him, made him his coordinator. And then obviously he went to his dream job at that point in time with Syracuse. He played for the University of Syracuse. So that was a big thrill for him. But now – he's going to the Buffalo Bills, and when you look at this team, it has some offensive weapons, and Doug has a good offensive mind. The thing for him now, and what's great about the hire, is they got him early. You know, there are only two teams that have head coaches right now, and that's in Kansas City with Andy Reid and Doug Marrone. So with that being said, he'll have the ability now to get himself a good staff. And that's always the key when you're a head coach, to go out and get available assistant coaches. And there's some available. You know, there were seven jobs out there, so there's a lot of assistant coaches that are looking for work. So he'll have the opportunity to get some of the better ones.
Yeah, take us in that mindset, if you would, Herm, with those coaches. If you're an assistant coach, you know, maybe you're on a staff that just got let go, and there's a chance that somebody might pick you up a week or two down the road, or you get a call from a coach already in place. I mean, what do you do? It's a personal decision, but what do you do as a coach who's on
well,
the beach
most
right now?
Most coaches, when they're out of work, they're looking for a job. So trust me, they're calling Doug. I mean, he's got more friends than he knows what to do with right now. You know, that's one thing. When you become a head coach, it's amazing how many friends you have all of a sudden acquire with all the notes and the thank yous. And then, by the way, the guy says, Coach, I'd love to work for you. You know, congratulations, Coach, I'd love to work for you. So he's going to have to go through the interview process. First will be, you know, the three big hires, in my opinion, special teams coach, defensive coordinator, and then offensive coach, and then who's going to be the quarterback coach. Now, I know Doug works on the offensive side of the football, but I think he's learned as a head coach, you have to be the head coach. I mean, your coaching career comes almost to an end in this sense. You have to make sure that you communicate your message to all the coaches and to all the players. You got to spend time on both sides of the ball, and that's the great thing about Doug. He's been a college coach now, so he's got to practice that. You know, it's very difficult sometimes when coordinators come out of the National Football League and become head coaches because they find themselves stuck on one side of the ball because they've been there their whole career. Well, Doug now has the experience of being a college coach. He's going to delegate some things, but he's going to make sure when he delegates, he's going to, with the idea of this, it's his philosophy. He wants to make sure it's coached in the classroom as well as on the football field.
Talking with ESPN's Herm Edwards, he is the head coach, former head coach of the Jets and the Chiefs, and hired Doug Marrone back in 2002 to coach the offensive line for the New York Jets. The fact that Doug Marrone spent most of his career in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball, does that mean it's critical that he get the right defensive coordinator coach?
Well, I think it is, you know, and he'll have the ability to hire, you know, to interview some good guys, because when you think about the Buffalo Bills right now, as much as you want to say, when you give up, you know, obviously 400 and something odd points, that's never good defensively. And you've got to get that corrected, 435 points. You know, you're 22nd in defense, you're 31st versus the run, 145 yards a game. You're 44% on third down. Now, the minus turnovers, that's offense. Well, you can fix that, but I think the major thing they got to fix right now is defense, because they've gotten some defensive players. And this is the problem a little bit. They've gone from 4-3 to 3-4 to 4-3. You're going to have to make sure you bring a guy in there now that understands the players you have, what is their skill set. Are they a 4-3 team, or are they still a 3-4 team? I mean, that's going to be the big question Doug's going to have to ask himself, and the guy that he ends up hiring.
He's already, you know, the name's been linked already. Mike Pettine, who's been working with Rex Ryan, coordinating the Jets defense down there. He's kind of considered a 3-4 guy. What would you think of Mike Pettine up here as a defense coordinator?
Well, the good part about it is, and I know he's, you know, that he's been in a division. Anytime you get a division coach that will come to you, that's always good, because he knows the personnel. Obviously, he knows the division. So that's a plus for you. He's done a fabulous job down there. You know, the Jets have been one of the better defenses. So if he can get that guy, that'd be a good get for him.
And they're also talking about Mel Tucker, the former interim head coach down in Jacksonville. Doug Marrone said today he's looking for an experienced defensive coordinator, which is probably the way to go. And those two, Pettine and Tucker, are among the most experienced guys who could be out there, right?
Yeah, they've been in the league, and they come with good resumes. And then from there, you know, they'll have the ability to hire some assistant coaches, and that's important too. And then the next guy, I think probably one of the most important guys I know, first guy I ever hired as a head coach, basically was Mike Westhoff in New York. He's still there. Went and got me a good special teams coach, because that's about a third of a football anymore, and you got to be good special teams. You have to be sound. You want to get a guy that can teach, so that's going to be another big hire for him.
Herm, at the press conference today, Doug Marrone seemed polished and calm and well-spoken. What's he like on the sideline, do you think, during a game?
Very competitive. Now, that doesn't always translate his facial expressions and all that, but he's got a competitive demeanor. Remember, he's an offensive line, so he can process information pretty good. He's going to be very thorough about his game plan and how he goes about doing things. He's also going to be a good communicator to the players, and they're going to know exactly what to do. I think what Doug does, especially offensively, does a fabulous job of adjusting during the course of a football game. And you got to be able to adjust, and especially it starts – no matter what we say, you can say, I want to run this play or that play. It starts with your offensive line when you think about protections and blocking schemes. And Doug has a sense of that. He can put guys in position. He also can, as the game's being played, to understand, okay, this is what they're doing. We're gonna do this now. So he'll do great during game day.
Last thing, Coach, it's been an incredibly long drought for the Bills and their fans, 13 years without a playoff spot. Do they have the right guy? What's your gut tell you?
Well, I hope so, because he's a personal friend, and it takes a lot of effort, you know, and it takes a little bit of luck too. You got to get through those injuries, and your star players, I always say, you got to be available. I mean, that's critical in this league, and it starts with the quarterback. I mean, Fitzpatrick is the guy. Will he continue to be Doug's guy? I don't know that. Only Doug can answer that question. But I know one thing. And Andrew Luck has proven that, along with Robert Griffin and Russell Wilson. It's amazing when you get a good quarterback, the general manager's smarter, the head coach is a lot better, and the fans are happy.
Coach, we really appreciate your work at ESPN, and we thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, man. Anytime.
Coach Herm Edwards from ESPN, the former head coach of the Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs, the man who brought Doug Marrone into the NFL back in 2002 when he hired him to coach the Jets' offensive line. And our thanks to Coach Edwards for joining us from ESPN a little bit earlier on. And now it's time for you, your thoughts on the hiring of Doug Marrone. We've got open phone lines for the next 10 to 15 minutes or so as we take you up to the BCS National Championship game, Notre Dame and Alabama. So give us a call. Give us your thoughts on what's gone on around the Bills this past weekend, the announcement today that Doug Marrone is the new head coach of the Bills. 803-0550, the number toll free 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A tweet from Sparky Red Dog says, what are your thoughts of trying to get Lovie Smith in for defensive coordinator? I'd like that. I think Lovie'd be a great defensive coordinator for the Bills or anywhere else. But I have a feeling that Lovie Smith is going to hold out and wait for a head coaching job, as he probably should, and he'll probably be able to get one. He interviewed with the Bills, as you know. The San Diego Chargers said to be very, very interested in Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith may wind up as the next head coach at San Diego. But if he's available when the dust settles, I think it'd be a great choice. The Bills already at work, reportedly, trying to find a defensive coordinator, as a matter of fact, with the news coming out today, reports out today that both the Jets defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, has been, the Bills have been given permission to interview him for their defensive coordinator vacancy. And the same, the report is, from Jacksonville's defense coordinator, Mel Tucker. The Bills have been given permission to interview him for the defensive coordinator spot. Mike Pettine's been with the Jets with Rex Ryan for a few years, turned down a contract extension back in December. So obviously he's on the lookout for his next job and may be willing to take this lateral move, defensive coordinator from one team to the other. Mel Tucker, again, there's uncertainty in Jacksonville with a new general manager coming in. The status of head coach Mike Mularkey is in doubt down there. So maybe Mel Tucker would be willing to make a move like that. And as you heard, I think you heard Doug Marrone say he's looking for an experienced NFL defensive coordinator with what he called thorough NFL experience. Both Mel Tucker and Mike Pettine would fill the bill, as would Lovie Smith as far as a defensive coach in the league. But again, I have a feeling that Lovie Smith is going to wind up as a head coach somewhere. Let's squeeze in some phone calls here. We'll go to Alec in Buffalo. Alec, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Okay.
I just wanted to call in and just talk about Doug Marrone. I think he's a great find for us. I think he's really going to turn the franchise around. I mean, I'm only 18 years old, so I haven't experienced as much as from what I've heard. But the past couple of years were pretty rough with Chan Gailey. I think Doug Marrone's a true professional. The one thing I definitely noticed is that he takes true offense when you just call him an offensive-minded coach.
Mm-hmm.
He gets really, like, really mad. I mean, it's awesome that he actually looks at it from a CAO perspective, as you put it. And I just think that he was a great find. And one other thing is, I just wanted to get your thoughts on if we could get Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator. That's all I had to say.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I mean, if they could, I'd definitely talk to him again. I don't think Lovie Smith is going to be available. And there's also the timing issue. Do you wait to see if Lovie Smith frees up and you can get him here? Is he worth waiting? Or if Mike Pettine's ready to talk now, if Mel Tucker's ready to talk now, if somebody else on Doug Marrone's short list is ready to talk now, do you snap him up? I mean, you know, there's a timing issue with all of these moves. That's why it's so important, I think, the Bills wrap this up in 6 days. They're in the driver's seat now. They have their pick of all the assistant coaches who are out there. The Cleveland Browns don't have that luxury. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, let's put it this way. If Doug Marrone decides yesterday to sign with the Cleveland Browns instead of the Buffalo Bills, the Bills are where the Browns are now, rebooting their coaching search, as was so well put by Chris Mortensen in ESPN. You don't want to be rebooting it after a week, and the longer it goes, the tougher it is to fill out those spots. So, yeah, Lovie Smith, an intriguing defensive coordinator candidate, but do you wait for him while these other guys are out there? I'm not so sure about that. Carl in Clarence. Carl, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, John. How you doing? Great show as always.
Thank you.
You make us proud, just as proud as Van did every Sunday.
Oh, that's nice.
From the bottom of my heart.
Thanks, Carl. That's very nice.
Well, that being said, it seems like this guy, according to the numbers and statistics, he's a pretty good disciplinarian, and I hope he holds true to that here, because I feel we really got a few prima donnas here that aren't playing up to their potential slash money payment. And I think that's where we kind of went wrong. Chan, God love him, he's one of the nicest men in the world, but it's one of his greatest assets and also his greatest fault. He's an enabler. He took all the sins of the team out of himself. And when you do that, the guy that lets the players off scot-free. And it sounds like this guy's going to be different about that, and I hope he is. Again, Happy New Year to you and yours. May 2013 be the best year of your life so far.
Thanks, Carl. We appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, Coach Marone, he suspended a couple of Syracuse players the week before the Pinstripe Bowl. A couple of regulars suspended from the team. Here's Ken in the Bronx. Hi, Ken. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, how are you? How's everything?
Great.
I have to throw my two cents in because he did tell me he came out the Bronx.
Yeah.
You know, he went to Lehman High School and everything. I'm familiar with that. Another thing with this, I feel a little optimistic. I feel pretty good right now that we got everything out the way. But what out there is for the coordinator? Do you think of Greg Williams will come back?
No. I mean, Greg Williams is in a world of trouble right now when it comes to, I mean, he has to apply for reinstatement. His suspension was long, you know, was indefinite, not just a year. And I don't think Greg Williams would come back to Buffalo. And I like Greg personally. I know him a little bit. I think he's going to have a hard time getting a job anywhere in the NFL because of what went down and the suspension that he had to serve.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, but, there are other names, you know, Mike Patton, the Jets coordinator, and Mel Tucker, the Jacksonville coordinator. Reports tonight that the Bills have been granted permission to talk to both of those defensive coordinators, experienced guys. So we'll see.
Let's see the Jet coordinator here. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, thanks a lot. Got some couple of minutes left here until we take you up to the BCS championship game, Notre Dame and Alabama. And the number to call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Let me tell you about tomorrow night's show while I got a minute here. We're going to continue to talk about Doug Marone. And tomorrow night, Scott Chandler, the Bills tight end, will join us. Chandler has some thoughts, early thoughts apparently, on Coach Marone, talking to his friend Jason Witten of the Dallas Cowboys. You remember Scott came here from Dallas. Witten has some experience with Doug Marone. And so we're going to talk with Scott Chandler just to get a player's perspective on what do they think about Doug Marone. Working on a couple of other ideas for tomorrow night's show as well. We're going to talk analytics, the new buzzword around the Bills and the NFL. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus joins us tomorrow night. And Doug Marone expected to embrace the use of some analytics in coaching the Buffalo Bills. Here is Tom in Cheektowaga. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Murph. How you doing?
Okay.
First thing, I'm really excited about this hire because I think for the first time the Bills have kind of embraced the kind of the new school approach to the NFL. He's got a really up-tempo offense, high speed. At the same time, I think he's got a good balance of the old school and the kind of the idea of certain things still apply in the NFL. And I like that kind of balance that he has. And I think it's a real bold move by the Bills as well. And that kind of piggybacks onto my second point is you've been around the team a long time. How does this feel for you as far as a Bills hire? I mean, this has got to be kind of a little different. You know, he's the first college coach straight out of the college to come to the Bills, and it just feels like it's different.
Yeah, I'll tell you what feels different to me, Tom. Number one is the speed with which this happened. You know, and Russ Brandon talked about it 6 days ago back on New Year's Day. They're going to be aggressive and push. And the fact that they got this done and got it done so quickly, got five interviews done. They were right there with the candidates available last week in Arizona, right where they needed to be, you know. And there was flexibility, too. And that goes to Russ being named the team president, I think. You know, they didn't have to run it by Detroit, which, you know, was not always a bad thing. But it did slow the process down from time to time. It slowed it down. And I think from talking to people involved in the search today, they thought that was a real benefit, the changes made last Tuesday. The message that was sent, that we're going to be aggressive, that we're looking to change the culture, that we've turned the page here in Buffalo. And then the action to get out there with that group of four, you know, Buddy and Russ Brandon and Jim Overdorf and, of course, Doug Whaley, to get out there to Arizona, to be in position, to act quickly, to offer a job, you know, what, 5 days after the job became open and to close the deals the next day. That's not the way things have gone around this franchise for a long time. So I find that exciting, the aggressive approach and the speed which they were able to get this whole thing done. Let's go to Jim in Buffalo. Hi, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Great.
Just a quick point I wanted to make regarding Marone. You know, I'm real excited like everyone else, but I think at the end of the day, it's a little bit all for nothing. I mean, not completely nothing, but ultimately, the thing that matters here is who this guy is able to pick as the next quarterback of the team. You know, you look historically at some of the greatest coaches. You know, you got, you know, Belichick, and you got, you know, Walsh in San Francisco and Dungy in Indianapolis. You have all Hall of Fame quarterbacks and on the same teams. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to be a huge success in Buffalo if one thing happens. He finds the first quarterback since Jim Kelly. Let me know what you think about that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. And not, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Hall of Fame quarterback like Jim Kelly or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Both are going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. But it's got to be a good quarterback, and they've got to upgrade there. They've known it. They've said it before Doug Marrone was even, you know, on the horizon. They talked months ago about upgrading a quarterback. It's the two most important pieces of any franchise success, coach and quarterback, coach and quarterback. They've got the one piece in place with the new head coach, and now it's up to see who's going to play quarterback, whether it comes this year. I mean, I think we're all hoping that the quarterback of the future is at least in place this year on the roster, if not on the field. But it remains to be seen where that's going to come from, if it's draft or free agency or trade or whatever. But, yeah, it's the other piece of the puzzle. You're right. Doug Marrone had a lot to say at the news conference today, and one of the things that struck me was when he talked about how he already feels like he's one of us here in Western New York.
I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, I lived in this town, I know this town, but I feel this town. And the core values here, again, are one of the things that I look for. I love the people here. We're going to be proud of this organization. And the comfort level through this thorough process that Russ spoke about, I have complete trust in Mr. Wilson, Russ, and Buddy, and the rest of the organization. And I think at the end of the day, to be successful, you know, you have to be at the place where you're most comfortable. And I'm most comfortable here in Western New York, and I'm most comfortable working with these gentlemen right here.
Yeah, that was important. The other thing that I thought was important, too, was how Doug Marrone insisted that despite the fact that he's been an offensive coordinator in the league, he is going to be involved with the offense. He made it very plain today, Doug Marrone did, that he will not be calling the offensive plays.
No, I will not be calling the plays. But to answer that, everything will go through me. So everything is game planned, offensively, defense, and special teams. We have a plan going in. When the defense is on the field, I'm on the headset with the defense. You know, we're going through it. You know, there's decisions made, game management decisions that are made. I'll be part of that process. Same with special teams and the same with offense.
That's kind of what you want the head coach to be, the overseer of all of it, and that's what Marrone says he will be. And the third takeaway, the top three takeaways I got from the press conference and meeting Coach Marrone today, he does describe himself really as an old-school football coach.
I'm an old-school offensive lineman, and I think anyone that's ever played offensive line, which really is how I was brought up, you know, I was always the kid that couldn't play Pop Warner because, you know, I was the big chubby kid, you know, so I've learned about, you know, having thick skin for a long period of time.
Doug Marrone, those are the three biggest things I got out of today's press conference. We're going to talk a lot about the new head coach of the Bills as the week goes along. As I said, Scott Chandler, Bills tight end, will join us tomorrow to talk about it. Talk about the use of analytics for Doug Marrone and the rest of the Buffalo Bills organization with Sam Motson of Pro Football Focus, and a lot more to come in the days ahead on the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. Well, we got college football up next here on WGR Radio, the BCS championship game, Alabama and Notre Dame coming up in just a moment, so stay tuned for that. Want to thank our engineer tonight, Pete Cargis, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, with production assistance from Matt Height. Thank you for listening. We're back on the air tomorrow night at 7 o'clock as we continue on talking about the new head coach of the Bills and where the Bills go from here. Maybe some more news on a coordinator coming up tomorrow night as well, defensive coordinator. It appears the Bills are at work trying to line one up right now. So make sure you join us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, for another installment of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.